What was your stage show like back in the early days? Were you doing a lot of the outrageous stuff that you guys later would become known for?
Well, one of the things that drew me to the band, because I always, just to back up, when I was in Ohio, I had actually played, excuse me, you can edit this, I have to grab a drink of water here, hang on.
Okay.
Yeah, to back up a little bit, when I was in Akron, there was a theater, and I think you said it's still there, the Weathervane Theater in the west side of town.
Yes, it is still there.
Yeah, and I had played in the orchestra, which at the time was a piano and a set of drums, and I was about 15, and they served liquor in there and all that sort of thing. But I was about 6 feet. I'm 6 feet three, and probably around that time I was about 6'2", and so I got in there through my connections with the teachers that were teaching me drums at the Akron University. They were affiliated with the theater, and I did Threepenny Opera and the Fantastics. So I not only I really enjoyed the theatrical side of music, and obviously that was I was playing with drums and a piano in the orchestra pit. Orchestra pit size of a shoebox, but nonetheless, was the music for the show. And then there was something about it just got under my skin. And so, and the fact that, by the time I joined the band, I was pretty notorious for doing crazy stuff. Like, when I was with the Holy Grail, I would, trash my drums, jump through the bass drum, it was a complete madman. I mean, I don't know what came over me, but
was it hard for you to afford piece and stuff back together after incidents like that?
Sure, hard. It was impossible. But we had some friends of questionable reputation that loved what we were doing, so they had plenty of money.
Okay.
So,
and about that time, you discovered the joy of duct tape, right?
No, I actually had everything professionally repaired. I'm telling you, they would, the money I didn't have, they would be happy to give to us just because they loved the band. This was the Holy Grail that I was in at the time. So I had built a pretty good reputation by the time I had joined, the guys that became Alice Cooper.
What was it like going in the studio for the first time to record Pretty's for You?
Well, I had been in, recorded with some of the other bands that I had been involved with. So going in the studio wasn't new for me, but, to do a whole, you would do like a single in those days, when you're in high school or college and you go in with a local band, you try to put together a single, two, maybe four songs at the most. So to go in to do a whole album, which is, that was the goal, obviously, then, is to do a complete album. It was exciting, but it was something that we'd been, sort of prepping for a long time. When we went in there, we thought we were going to basically, have some time, a little bit of time to rehearse, maybe clean up the arrangements a little bit. But essentially, because I think we had to put the bed tracks down like in 2 days, essentially we had to record the album almost live.
So most of that first album is pretty much live in the studio.
Yeah, Pretty's for You is really almost a live studio album. Because we weren't given I got to tell you that, Straight Records was a very low budget company. And, you went in there and Frank was just trying to be weird. I don't think there was ever any, if there was any kind of commercial success we were certainly original, and I love the originality of the original two Alice Cooper albums, Pretty's for You and Easy Action. But I don't think that we had really hit the mark as far as making it, commercial to a broader audience.
Right.
And even if we did, Frank didn't have the budget to really market the record. So we pretty much did it low budget and went in there and he was supposed to be in the album, but as a matter of fact, he was supposed to produce the album, but he never did. And we pretty much did it ourselves with the engineers that were there. And actually, Jefferson Airplane, when we got to the studio, Jefferson Airplane were in the room next to us, a studio next to us, and so they had, because by that time the bands in California had heard about Alice Cooper, And so they were, you know, they knew it was our, we were in the studio with Frank recording our first album. So they sent over a present for us. And so we went in the back alley and indulged in the present. And when we went back in the studio, I think Frank could tell that we probably were, probably feeling no pain.
Uh-huh.
And we're ready to record, and which we were very used to, so that wasn't a big deal. And he also wasn't feeling well. He had like the flu or a cold or something. So between those two factors, he just threw his hands up and left the studio. So so right away we outraged the most outrageous guy on the planet at the time, as far as you know musically and stuff. So the album went together, and we did the two albums with Frank producing Easy Action.
So what was how long of a time period was there between Produce for You and Easy Action?
I think there was maybe a year.
Okay. So did you write a lot of those songs just in the meantime, or were any of those Easy Action songs holdovers that didn't make it on Pretty for You?
Actually, Lay Down and Die Goodbye. You see, I mean, so many songs were written, you know, right around the time I joined the band, before and after, that they, you know, they even found their way into, I mean, School's Out with, you know, dun da da dun ba da dun ba da dun. I mean, that riff, Glenn had that forever. That was around even back then. So, I mean, you know, we had so much material back then that we had to tap in on that. Most of it, I mean, a lot of it was new, but there was always, you know, some carryover from some things that we just never developed. And, you know, sometimes those just disappeared. Matter of fact, there's things I can think of right now that never ever recorded at all. That just, you know, they just never developed, the chemistry never happened to make it a complete song.
So on Love It to Death, is there any songs on that record that that you wrote by yourself?
Yeah, Hallow Would Be My Name.
Anything that inspired that one for you?
No, that was just a song. When we had moved, we left Los Angeles after Easy Action. Pretty much lived on the road for almost a year before we got a house in Pontiac, Michigan. Actually, it was a farm, and they had a big barn. That's why we liked it, because we used that as our studio. And when we were back there, and I've always had an acoustic guitar, and I wrote the song Hallowed Be My Name, and it's pretty, I mean, even the guitar solo was, I showed Glenn how to play the guitar solo on the record, on the song. So that was one of the few songs that was exactly like it was written. As a matter of fact, when we recorded Love It to Death, I tried to sing the song, and it just, you know, because Michael sang a song on Easy Action,
right?
Beautiful Flyaway, that the ballad, and so I gave it a shot, but it sucked. So Alice said did a great job. As a matter of fact, did you ever hear the band from Chicago, Thrill Kill Cult?
Yes,
they on one of the tribute albums, Alice Cooper tribute albums, they did a cover version of Hell Would Be My Name, which is like a Euro dance kind of song.
Uh huh.
And, oh, man, it is just so awesome.